Affordable housing is top of mind for so many people across Australia right now. An investigation from Four Corners last night highlighted just how many rentals are still out of reach for people on low and even middle incomes. There's a critical lack of affordable housing options across the board. And data suggests that older women, typically who retire with less in savings and superannuation than men, are particularly vulnerable. The number of older women experiencing homelessness has more than doubled in the last 8 years. It's a complex problem. There's no silver bullet, but there are plenty of people exploring potential solutions. Last week, I told you about a home sharing arrangement connecting older women with people who have a room to spare. And today, you're going to hear from two more people who are pushing for change in this space. One who's providing a design-led co-housing solution, and another who's bringing real women's stories to life through fiction. Joining me today are Susan Davies, CEO of Sharing with Friends, a not-for-profit organisation creating co-housing communities for older women, and her friend, author Sally Piper, who took some real-life inspiration from Susan to write her latest novel, People Like Us. Susan, Sally, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi. Hi. Lovely to be here.
Thanks for having us.
So, Sally, I might start with you. Your new novel follows Tina, who's a woman in her 50s. She finds herself suddenly divorced and living in a caravan park. Why was this a story you wanted to explore?
Mainly because I wasn't reading about it anywhere in any other fiction. I was reading about it in newspaper articles and essays and people speaking in about their lived experience of this. But that's something that I was interested in and was accessing that information. But regular people who might not have that same interest wouldn't realise that this problem is out there and that we have so many older single women who are living in insecure housing. And to make that something accessible to people, I thought I will create a fictional character so that readers could come with me on the story and have a sense for what it looks and feels like to actually have to live in that situation.
So you met Susan while you were in the early stages of writing the book. Was this intentional or fortuitous?
It was fortuitous, and I've been grateful for having met Susan every day since. So it was about 2 years ago, and I went to Susan's book club, and I was invited to speak about my second novel. And at the end of our conversation, one of the women said, "Oh, what are you working on now?" And I said, "Oh, insecure housing and older women." And Susan and I locked eyes and could see kindred spirits, I think, with a similar passion for the topic. And we set up to speak to one another, and we've been speaking to each other ever since. But the really great thing about having met Susan at that particular point in the novel's completion was that I couldn't find an ending for this story. I could create the character and I could make her fairly authentic, and but I just couldn't see how to give her a hopeful ending, which is what I wanted, a realistically hopeful ending, because I just couldn't see that there was one for her circumstances, because poverty just doesn't deliver Cinderella moments. So meeting Susan helped me see that there was a hopeful option out there.
Well, I don't want to give spoilers away for the book, but we can talk about Susan's solution that is in real life. Susan, tell us about Sharing with Friends.
Well, yeah, I'd love to. But I also wanted to pick up on what Sally just said, because I'm so grateful that her book, even though we've been working on our solution for 7 years and virtually have the end of the beginning coming next month. However, Sally's book coming out right now has been the most amazing gift for our solution, because I have been up and down. It's been an interestingly long journey. Sally's book came out, and one of my friends, I gave the book to her. Now, she has followed this journey of mine for 7 years, and she came over in tears to me, and she said, "Oh, I've just finished Sally's book." She said, "I am so proud of you." And I thought, wow, you know what I've been doing day by day for 7 years, and yet Sally's book actually explains, and it's a bombshell for people. They understand the problem. And so I'm very grateful. But do you want me to tell you about our model?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, the solution is actually, it's not a share house. It's actually, we call sharing with friends, but it's co-living, it's co-housing, and it's actually shared equity. So One of the most intriguing parts of the three parts of our model is that the design is the least innovative. It is wonderful. It is elegant. It is beautiful. Five older women in their own units around a central courtyard, and then a sixth space, which is their shared space. And we call that an intentional community. So the really interesting thing is how they're bound together, as in a legal sense, and a community sense, and then also in other ways about how they choose each other. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of idea. So that's the most innovative stuff. But we didn't quite know how to solve this problem. We heard about it, like Sally probably, about the same time. And we, five of us were in a wonderful organisation called Zonta International, and it's about building a better world for women and girls. And we sort of picked up our ears as we're hearing about this tsunami of older women about to hit Australia and be unhoused. They would not be able to find or afford to live. And we thought that was shocking. Could it be something to do with the fact that we also were approaching retirement and older ages ourselves? So we said we've got to do something. We've swirled around a bit on how to do something, just advocate or what. But then we went into one of our members, one of our five that was talking, was Sally Ann Atkinson, her former Lord Mayor of Brisbane, and she said, "You've got to meet my daughter, the architect." Sat
the
down
architect.
With Ella Witt, the architect, and she is capital T, capital A, the architect. We sat down with Eloise. She drew a sketch on the back of an envelope and we took it from there. That was the breakthrough.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm with Susan Davies, CEO of Sharing with Friends, an innovative housing model specially designed for older women, and author Sally Piper, who has just written a book called People Like Us, which is a novel about housing insecurity, female friendship and reinvention. We're talking about older women experiencing housing insecurity, how Susan and Sally struck up this friendship over this co-housing model. And I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on this, what sorts of plans you're making for your own living arrangements as you get older. One person says, providing more affordable accommodation right now can be so easy if people realise they can share their house or flat if they have spare bedrooms. I am in my 80s and very happily offering my spare bedroom to visa holders short term, which is actually something we spoke about last week on Life Matters, if you want to go back and have a listen on ABC Listen. Susan, you talk about the missing middle as the focus of this project. What do you mean by that?
There's a big group of women. We believe statistically, our research says about 400,000 around Australia, and they have, at retirement, they've been working all their lives but renting, and they hit retirement, they cannot afford to buy, and as rents are going up, their super is so low that they can't afford to buy, but they also can't. Savings will just diminish in the next few years if they have to subsidise their rents with their savings. So this group, there's a sliding door moment with our model, and that we can assist them move into a shared equity arrangement so they get absolutely lifetime tenure. So not renting. And it's their place, and it's then self-management. So that's the breakthrough moment. It's actually like ownership, home ownership for five older women in an intentional community. That's the breakthrough.
So Sally, part of your research for writing the book was you spent some time staying in caravan parks. You spoke to caravan park owners. What did you take away from that experience?
Yeah, there was a lot of takeaways from that. Firstly, that there are communities in these caravan parks. There's people who have lived there for decades. Probably the most startling thing I took away from it was I spoke to the park manager of one of the caravans I was staying at, and just telling him about what I was working on. And he told me that he received between 300 and 400 calls a week of people looking for permanent accommodation. This was a couple of years ago, and I can't see that there's been any substantive change in that time to make those numbers any less since. And when I got back and looked through my notes back in that little cabin I was staying at, I thought, I must have that wrong. So I went and spoke with him again. I said, that must be a month. And he said, no, it's a week. And the other awful thing about that is that he said he no longer tells people he has a wait list because he can't give people hope when he knows there is no hope. And I just sat in stunned disbelief with this information and thought, if that's not a number that makes us realise just how terrible this situation is. And these weren't just older single women. These were people right across the demographic board. But also from a writer's perspective, I can take all these numbers, but numbers aren't faces and they're not human stories. And that's what I wanted to see, because I wasn't seeing these human faces and stories anywhere else. So, yeah, it was statistics like that that made me think this just needs to be humanised, so that people know that these women that I was writing about are out there and that we need to do something about it.
It really struck me before when Susan was talking about her friend going, oh, thank you, or congratulations, or whatever.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm so proud of you. Sort of, and you're like, oh, I've been telling you about this for 7 years. Fiction is so powerful. It kind of weasels underneath our logical brain to sort of tap into those emotions, and can really be part of social change, Sally.
I think what fiction allows us to do is it takes a person into the story, and if the character's created well enough, they should be able to walk in those shoes. And I think the number of people that didn't realise this has been a problem that have spoken to me since the book's come out only 2 weeks ago. But also disturbingly, that every time I do any kind of public speaking engagement, it's the people that come up to me afterwards and they thank me, and they're often in tears because someone has written their story and they feel seen where previously they'd felt invisible. And I think that's the real power of fiction. It can bring those minorities into the light so that we all get a sense of that they're real people out there and they're living with very challenging situations.
You are telling me your stories as well. Karen says, I've been very lucky enough to find a small unit, one of 14 rental units surrounding a garden. This was started by a church group. Very fortunate. Thank you. And another says, I'm 61 and house sharing at the moment. I'm dreading the day my landlord decides to sell and what I will do. I raised 4 children and worked in low paid jobs, so my super is not going to sustain me through old age. I would love to be involved in something like this. Susan, you're nodding so furiously. Seriously, right now.
Yes. Well, yes, it's the women that we have a series of workshops, and people like that come along, and they have a very small amount of savings at retirement. And that's our plan, is to peg the cost of moving in for your forever home with people that you choose to live with. That will be affordable for the rest of your life until you... And then you can exit and you get your money back, or your estate gets it if you are lucky enough to be able to stay there for the rest of your life. So it's that security and that autonomy and self-management and, I don't know, dignity. Mm-hmm. I think respect and dignity is something that has informed this thing the whole way through. And, of course, because we're a not-for-profit, we can keep that price as low as possible. If you really want to talk numbers, then sometimes people hate talking numbers, but we're thinking, having built our first one, which is about to open in end of August, early September, based on the cost of building, and that's another nightmare in Australia at the moment. Nevertheless, we, with some very helpful people like Own at Homes, who have sort of helped us build this one at cost, and all the waived fees for the architects and whatevers, we think that perhaps future ones will be between a housing contribution for each woman will be about $250,000 to $300,000. Now, we actually are in Brisbane at the moment. People in Sydney will laugh at that, of course. Even in Brisbane, it's very low. And, of course, in regional cities, it's even more affordable, a price between $250,000. If we can peg the cost of construction, and that's basically how much it's going to cost for future women to enter this security. I'd love to talk to you though about we need more help though, and it is about money and land, but what we really want is local governments to understand, and state governments, but local governments who are getting a lot of pressure because they're being blamed for forcing people off out of parks, homeless people out of parks, and that they really, even though they say, have always said, we're not responsible for housing. That's a state government responsibility. However, they are wearing it. They are wearing the awful reputation. So we need local governments to actually work with us. And it's not a simple process. It's a real whack-a-mole between building and town planning and water rates and ordinary rates and, oh my God, the charges and fees and things like that. So we need them to take it on board. And, you know, some local governments are already talking to us like that. They got the message. They got Sally's message and they're actually doing something. We need the whole of Australia to read Sally's book and understand that this is a really systemic problem. And government and regulations and town planning at the moment are part of the problem. And they need to become part of a solution just to help community groups build what we've built and not charge us as though we're some mega public company needing to make returns for shareholders. It's more serious than that. I have no problem with what they do, but we need another solution that is mainstream.
I am interested to know how scalable this is. You've built this, it's been a labour of love, 7 years of work, and you've got 5 units. Amazing. But 300 people a week calling the caravan park. There's such a massive differential here. Where do you see this in a year, 5 years, 10 years?
Well, this 400,000 is... And there's many, many more people who cannot, could not. We're a niche solution, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say. And it is for people who have a small amount of money, not for people who have no savings at all. So we have written up a licensing manual. We've told everybody all the ways that you shouldn't do it and can do it, telling them how to do it, and then we want local chapters to form all around Australia, and we are poised to license people for free, but they need to maintain the integrity of sharing with friends model, and it's replicable with the help of local governments too, and I think we'll get that instantly. By the end of the year, we can be licensing new chapters to build these co-housing, seniors co-housing all around Australia.
It's so interesting reading your texts coming through. Avril says, Castlemaine in Victoria has 4 communities. Many thanks for discussion of this vulnerable group. Another says, co-housing has been around for decades. This is a great idea. And this person says, although a better model is to have intergenerational, it's the councils and legal aspects that make it so difficult. Mm. We don't have a lot more time left, but I do want to ask this question that someone has written in saying, do the guests, public policy hats on for a moment, do the guests have reflections on common themes of how people end up in these situations? Any sense of personal accountability? Prevention's also better than the cure. What do you say to that?
Well.
Someone like us?
read people like us.
People like us.
I think we need to change that narrative of blame is the first thing we need to do. The women I've spoken with, these are women who are just like me. They've had children, they've run a home, they've cared for ageing parents, they've helped their partners in their career and successes with their businesses. And they've done all that at great cost to their own financial gains. So for me, for example, I went back to part-time work. I couldn't go back to full-time work because once you have so many children, the cost of living, the cost of childcare, makes that prohibitive. So I think to make an assumption that people would actually choose to live like this, I just don't understand people who could think that. Nobody would choose poverty. I think we need to recognise that there are a lot of economic disadvantages that women face, and we should be addressing those with, through the superannuation, through the gender gap, payments of wages, all of those things, yeah.
Well, Sally, Susan, thank you both so much for joining me today. Susan Davies is CEO of Sharing with Friends, a not-for-profit organisation providing a solution to this crisis. And Sally Piper is the author of People Like Us, a novel about housing insecurity, ageing and female friendship. Thank you for your texts as well. One says, I met a woman on the Central Westie train last week who must be in her 70s at least, has chronic pain due to an untreated birth injury and no teeth. She said she's lived in caravans most of her life but has to move out of the Hartley Caravan Park, which is mostly residential, because the old owner passed away and the kids just want the money. She doesn't have enough for her huge power bills. Perfect opportunity for the government to buy the area and provide peppercorn rent for local renters. Organisations like the Blue Mountains Community Lands Trust.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.